What would you do if you were told that your occupation should be a shepherd? Most of us maybe don't even know what that is, yet we find that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and in Israel itself, being a shepherd is a job which is taken seriously and is one in which they want to do the best they can for the flock they have with them. It is a rocky country for the most part, and it is one in which we would probably look at and say, wouldn't care to farm it, except if you get down in the Jezreel Valley. So we find that most of Israel would be a land that would be not wanted, but we find in the world today that for some reason the people around Israel wants to push Israel, the Jews, the population into the sea so their name will be remembered no longer. Yet God has said, because they are my chosen people, I will protect them and I will keep them. And I will give them this land, and this land will flourish, and this land will be blessed because they are my people and they are the sheep of my pasture. They also, he has told us, that his sheep goes even beyond his own chosen people, and it goes throughout the world. We find in this portion of scripture, it's talking about Jesus being the good shepherd. And in the Old Testament lesson, we find God back there in Ezekiel telling how he's going to draw his people back from the world and from the punishment that they received for not obeying him, and that they were scattered throughout the world. As they were scattered throughout the world, they will be drawn again by the Spirit of God into their own country. And we find this more and more every day. We find different places in Israel where they are flying the Israelis or the Jews back to Israel, giving them 6 months of training to not only speak the language, but how they live and the things that they do. Many of them are older people. They are on a small pension, maybe barely enough to exist, and yet they are happy that they're back in their own homeland. And so we see, as we look at Ezekiel, God is telling them what he would do. He would bring his people back. He would be the shepherd of the sheep. He is the true shepherd, and the shepherd he would send into the world, which was Christ, would bring the people around him. We see Christ has come once and is coming again. The second time he comes, he's coming as judge, and he's coming as the Lord of lords and the Lord, or the main shepherd, in which he will call his sheep together. As we look into Hebrews, we find that text read there is one that we use so very much for a benediction. And we find there that it tells us, as now, may the God of peace, which brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. We find there that the writer of Hebrews is giving God all the glory, that he not only is giving God the glory, but that Jesus rose from the dead. There is no reason to ever think he didn't, and there's no reason to even talk that he didn't, because he did. And as he brought up that great shepherd of the sheep from the dead, through the blood of the cross and to an everlasting covenant to his people and to us, that sin is forgiven through the cross of Calvary, through the cross that Christ died on Calvary, He took the beatings for us. He took the animosity of the world against himself. Remember, in the middle of the day when Christ was crucified, it became dark. And for 3 hours, there was darkness upon the face of the earth from 12 noon till 3 in the afternoon. It's not an eclipse. It's total darkness. And in that darkness, we find God or Christ overtaking Satan and winning the victory for us over sin and death. Winning the victory in which he is the Lord and Savior and the Good Shepherd, and we should follow him. Then we find, as we go on, that Jesus talked and he healed many people. Yet in the healing and in the telling of the people that the Son of God comes to heal and to save those that are lost, we find the Pharisees and the Sadducees, two of the biggest opponents of Christ, taking and trying to get the people to not follow him, trying to get the people to go against him, and talking to Jesus and saying, "You haven't given us a sign that you came from God." Yet he had given them many, many signs. And yet they would not believe. And they wanted something, what they thought would be special. The same thing comes to us today. Are we looking for something special? Or are we willing, because of what Christ did on the cross of Calvary, to give our all, to have him first in our lives and in all that we say or do, that we don't want to make the decision for ourselves, but we let Christ make the decision within us that we can follow him, and what we do would glorify his holy name amongst the people that we dwell and amongst the people we do business with. Are we showing then the love of Christ, not only within ourselves, but those we love, our families, our friends, our relatives? Or are we taking and trying to say, it really doesn't make no difference as long as I get to do what I want? You see, man's ways are not God's ways. And God says, man may think certain thoughts, but he says, I will guide your path and I will guide your footsteps as you trust in me. So as we look at this, we find that Jesus has been talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they wouldn't listen. So he does another approach here in John. And as we look at the scripture for today, John 10, verses 1 through 10, we will see this different approach. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, or verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep, and all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We find that the people wouldn't listen to Jesus. He told them he was the river of life, the river of flowing water, that they had never thirst. Yet they sent him to the cross. They had him beaten, so he was almost unrecognizable. As he hung on the cross and he gave his life for you and for me, we go back and listen to what he had to say to the Pharisees and the people of his day, as well as to us. I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheep. We look back, and if any of you have had any dealings with sheep, you find, as most people would say, they're kind of a dumb animal. They don't want to listen, but they do know the voice of their master. And back in those days, the shepherds would take the sheep out and they would call each sheep by its certain name. And in the sheepfold at night, they would have maybe three or four different groups of sheep. And in the morning, the shepherd would come and call his sheep out, and they would come out because they recognized the voice of that sheep or shepherd. And this is what Jesus is telling us. Do we hear his voice as he calls us and speaks to us? Or do we want to go our own way and say, Lord, I want you to bless me, because after all, I am doing some things for you, but I am looking out for myself at the same time. And as we look at the world today, we find it is so easy to get taken up in the things of the world and to put God in second place. How many times have you visited with people and those same people will talk about everything except heaven, about death, about the glory that God has given them, and they will talk about everything else, but they will not talk about eternity or about their soul? You know, I once had a friend of mine, and he was a very dear friend, and I guess I'm one that I enjoy speaking about things in the Bible, and I don't know everything about it, I have to admit that. But this man said one time, you know, there's so many things going on and all, you're concerned about what happens after we die. And I says, to me, that's important. And he could not figure out why I didn't want to talk about how can we make more money? How can we go into certain businesses and maybe it would help us? How can we get more for our retirement or for those that we leave behind? How can we leave a legacy that nobody could ever match up to? And yet, Solomon, in all of his wisdom, he says, you know, the time comes, and we may be good managers or good stewards of what God has given us. And we not only have God's blessings upon us, and we give back to God a portion of what he has given us. That's good. And God blesses us beyond measure. And so we leave a legacy. And Solomon says, How do you know how they're going to spend it, or how they're going to run it, or how they will operate it? You don't have any idea. Because when you leave the same way you came, with nothing except your salvation. When you leave this world, you can leave a legacy of your strength in Christ Jesus. You can leave your legacy that Jesus was that good shepherd of your life. He's the one that opened that door and let you go in and out. He's the one that called you by name, and you knew and heard his voice, and you listened to him. He's the one that we know we have life and have it more abundantly. Only the thieves and robbers, Jesus said, comes and they have to climb, try and climb the wall or break in some other way. We see in Timothy, as well as Ephesians and many other portions of Scripture, that a great apostasy will fall, come before Christ returns. We find that Christianity will be attacked, and Christianity will be attacked so much that they will try and do away with it. And we find that happening more and more, even in our locality. And we may say, I don't see it, and yet it's so slowly going, or seems to be, that when it comes, we don't realize it till after it happens. And when we find it, we find people will say, why didn't God intervene? Where was that good shepherd when we needed him, even though we didn't want him in our life, or in our business, or in our friendship, or in our schools, and in many churches today? We find that in this, we have to not only read the Scripture and study the Scripture, see what it has to say, but we believe the Scripture because it is the inerrant, infallible Word of God. And as Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. He's telling us that there is no way into heaven except through him. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto God the Father but by me. And yet we find many people, they'll say, I pray to God the Father. Do you pray through Jesus the Son? And they'll say, that's not necessary. Yes, it is. Jesus said that. The only way you get to God the Father is through me, the Son. You see, God gave Christ all power in heaven and on earth. And this is what many people don't want to think about. Many people want to make their own way to heaven. I was listening to some excerpts from some of the very high influential people on a religious program, and they had these excerpts, and they said, here's what these people said. And many of them said, we'll all go to heaven. There are many roads to heaven, but only one gate. But there are many roads to get to that gate. There are many things we can do in life, and we will be forgiven because we did it in ignorance, even though we had heard the word. And many of them would take the comment that they might read the Bible once in a while. They might take God's word in its truth and entirety. They might even pray when they get in trouble. But they call themselves Christians and followers of Jesus. Yet Jesus says, the time is coming. when these false prophets and false teachers will come into the world, and all of these people that have not grounded themselves in the Word of God and taken Jesus as that good shepherd will fall away or be deceived. Many of them will. And many of them will realize that they have to take a stand for Jesus Christ. You know, I don't want to bring up my life all the time, but I have to in many cases. I was asked one time to do a certain thing for the Lord. And this was after I had given my heart completely to God. This would have been back in the 60s. And I said no, because even though I had Christ, my family wasn't saved. My family went to church, but they hadn't given their hearts and lives to Christ. You see, it's a personal thing. You have to do it. You can't do it for your children, and your children can't do it for you. You must make that personal commitment yourself. Jesus is the good shepherd, and he says, "Come unto me." And when he says that, he means it for each one of us. As a Christian, we can pray, and God will answer our prayers. And he will give us life, and he will give us life more abundantly. Yes, in this physical world, we can have many hardships and many hard bumps. But have you ever noticed, if you're walking with the Lord, even though you might feel down once in a while, God will lift you up. He will give you the scripture in which to help you. He will give you the scripture, and he will give you the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. Praise the Lord for that. It is so good to know and to be able to not only feel, but to know God is working through me and touching the hearts and lives of others. And he should be working through each one of us. And as he does that, you would say, Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the shepherd of the door, and he watches over me, one of his sheep. And yes, I understand that in this physical world and in this physical life, Satan is doing everything he can to get me to go against what God wants. But I pray God's mercy and grace and leading upon me that I will do his will, showing his goodness and his mercy. And that as people see me, they will see Christ, not me. That they will see what Christ has done in my life, not what I have done. But we find that Christ and Christ alone is not only the good shepherd, he's the way. He's the way in which we get to heaven. He's the way in which, as we give him our life and as we give him our all, that he will help us even in the hard decisions of life. And some of them are pretty difficult. Some of them we have to say yes to, and some of them we say no to. And yet we keep those we're saying yes to or no to in prayer. Not only that God would have a special blessing on them, but he would help them realize they have to have a personal relationship with Christ also. And in that personal relationship, they would find turning their life over to Christ. Even though they maybe have made blunders in this life, they can be straightened out, and God can use each one in a special way to bring someone to him in his kingdom. You know, sometimes we say, well, I got it good, and we do. But yet, we find in the United States especially, we have been blessed beyond measure. And yet, so many times, we want to keep those blessings to ourselves. And as we keep them to ourselves, we wonder why God's word isn't going forward and why God's word isn't being transposed throughout the world as it should be. And maybe much of it is because we ourselves have been dragging our own feet. And we say, Lord, you are my Lord and my Savior. And you give me all these good things in life. Help me now to help those in less need or less than I have, that they can have more life and have it more abundantly. And we find that as we do that, that God will not only bless us, we can't outgive God, and yet many times we think we do. Yet if we give God sacrificially, we will find of our lives and of everything we do, God will bless us as we give it to him to glorify his name, as we do it to his glory and to his honor. As we pray and read daily, we will find that God is the good shepherd. Christ is the good shepherd. He's the one that died on the cross of Calvary. He's the one that gave his blood for you and for me, that we can have be reconciled to God, and that we can thank God for all that mercy, that he sent Jesus, his son, into the world to bring us back to him even while we were yet sinners, because as sinners, we would have never done it. But we find that through the blood of Christ, we can have peace and we can have access by one Spirit to God. And that's the Spirit of the Holy Spirit that comes into us as we accept Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, as we commit ourselves to him, as we are willing to do his will, regardless of where we are or what we're doing, that God has first place in each one of our lives. That through this then, and through Christ, we know that God, or Christ has told us that God the Father and God the Son would come in God the Spirit and dwell in us and lead us and keep us as we give ourselves totally to him. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would watch over us and keep us, that we will not only realize you are the good shepherd, that you have sent Jesus, your Son, into the world to die for our sins, and that you have reconciled us back to you. Help our lives to show you and your glory to those round about us, that this community and our friends and relatives would see you in us and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn to 479.